opposition leader, Simon Bridges.
Wumpf! Hello there, Simon. How are you?
Hey, how are you, Mikey?
Just trying to get my spinnaker out and jibe up the windward side all at once. Otherwise, fine. How are you?
Good, man. Good. Really good. Well, actually, I'm not. I'm a bit unwell, but that's okay.
Tis the season, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, I'm never going to support compulsory Māori in schools.
No, because I think, look...
That seems a rather harsh way of saying it. It seems a brutal
But I suppose if you listen to that, you know, what I said on Duncan Garner's show, I mean, my first point was, it's amazing the resurgence that we're seeing. It's fantastic, you know? And actually, if you look at my kids, for example, who gave me the terrible head cold thing that I've got at the moment, they also, actually, they're not fluent, but they can speak quite a bit of Te Reo.
Putting the flu back in fluent.
Yeah, exactly. They can speak a fair bit, and I think that's fantastic. But I think, you know, ultimately, compulsion, that's a big call. And when you sort of say at the moment we've already got kids coming out of school who aren't getting other basics right, like the reading, the maths and so on, I just don't think I'd go compulsory.
What about the full immersion schools that we already have?
Yeah, totally. And that's a choice that people will have, right? And, you know, the reality is, I stand to be corrected, but I think, you know, you've seen the numbers of those be pretty strong over recent times and going up a bit as well. So that's fantastic. If that's what people want to do, then they should do that. But compulsion, like I say, in most things, National Party, you know, struggling actually think of a thing where we'd be for compulsion, we would be against it.
What about the future of the language? How do you envisage the future of the language? Do you think there is a future for the Māori language, or is it I'm not going to say novelty because I don't think you'd think that, is it useful? Is it can it go from strength to strength? Do you think, or?
Oh, totally, and I think the doomsayers...
To take it outside of the schooling, you know, let's say you've given us your thoughts on that. What about outside of that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the doomsayers who say, oh, you know, it is a, you know, to use your word, a novelty or something where you've just got a minority and it's dying off, I think the evidence is very much against that. I mean, I think the likes of, you know, Stacey Morrison, Guyon Espinner and a variety of others who are out there actually plugging it quite hard, writing books on it, doing podcasts and so on, that's what's led to the resurgence. And actually, to your point, you're kind of right. It's part of the school system, but it's more than that, isn't it? It's a cultural thing that people are doing, and it's not just Māori. It's a lot of non-Māori who are doing it for a bunch of reasons. Maybe they feel that it will make them more culturally fluent. Maybe they've got relatives who are Māori. Maybe it's just part of them being a proud New Zealander.
But where do you see it? Where's the future of it, do you think? Where do you think 20 years, where do you think we'll be with Te Reo?
Well, first things first, and that is this, the government does have an obligation under the treaty to be protecting and safeguarding the, you know, as I think the courts have said, the taonga. That is Te Reo, right? So that doesn't mean compulsion, but it does mean actually funding for things like Māori TV and so on and so forth. What's the future? I think it's over time more and more people speaking it because they enjoy it, because they say culturally they see it as part of being a Kiwi.
Right on. Okay, all right. The other I want to talk to you about this Productivity Commission.
Yeah.
Now, the Productivity Commission's final report on the future of New Zealand becoming a low emissions economy.
Yeah.
There's no question now. It's obvious what's going on. We have to we have to be a part of the remedy for the damage that we've done to the planet. It's not going to happen in one term of government. Is the National Party prepared to take on board whatever changes are made to our country's climate change or the Productivity Commission's low emissions guidelines, that sort of thing, if they were into government the next term or term after that or three terms after that?
Yeah, we are. We looked at the report and the draft report before it, and we think it's a really useful addition to what's going on in the climate change debate in New Zealand. By the way,
is it still a debate?
Debate's the wrong word, you're right. Discussion is a better word. I suppose, to be honest, though, that said, it is still a debate. I'm not saying it's a It's a massive violent debate, if you like. But I think there is still a debate out there. I still meet a lot of New Zealanders who say, "Oh, it's a load of old bunkum." Da 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 da.
But apart from Leighton Smith,
I totally disagree with that.
So that means that conflicts with a lot of opinions that some members of the National Party have had up till now.
Oh, I doubt that. I doubt that in the current National Party. And I think the other thing I would say is, look, your point's exactly right. So here we are. We're in opposition. We're the National Party. We could sit here on the sidelines and throw stones on this issue. We're not, actually. I've written to the Prime Minister and James Shaw about the issue. We are in really fruitful talks at the moment to make sure that this isn't just a cycle thing of, you know, left, right, right, left, whatever it is, swinging or seesawing around on this issue, that we have an enduring climate framework that makes a difference.
So it's fair to say it's a bipartisan approach to it?
Yeah, I hope so.
Cool.
And I think you'll see that over the next few months as these talks bear fruit. That'll be on the framework and the law in place. Now, I don't want to be cute with you, right, because what is also true is, all of that said, even though I believe, like you, that it's a serious issue that we need to take seriously and deal with, there will be differences about the pace and scale of change, right? I think James Shaw, excuse me, it's that kid's cough that I've told you about. I think James Shaw has a view that, look, we need to bend the curve on climate change and that the arc of our emissions pretty radically, pretty quickly. I don't, and the National Party doesn't agree with that. We think a more gradual, incremental change that does less harm, I suppose, economically, is less disruptive to New Zealanders in terms of fuel prices and electricity prices, is the better way to go. So there is a legitimate...
Is that based on really putting the microscope on whether it will economically stress out the country or not?
Yeah, totally. And actually,
I find it difficult to imagine how saving the planet can hurt business, to be honest.
I think the truth is, if you move really, it means a bit like Rogernomics in the 80s. I would argue it was the right thing to do, but it was done very quickly. They really ripped the plaster off, and that did hurt a lot of people in the process. I think the same is true about climate change. Yep, it's the right thing to do, but actually, if you do it radically and quickly, there will be costs and unforeseen disruption that will hurt a lot of New Zealanders. So I'm not... I'm not arguing with you that we should do nothing. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there'll be... I think we'll get to a position, the government and the opposition. We've got agreement on the framework to deal with this over the next 30, 40 years. But there will still be legitimate debate about kind of the pace and scale, exactly how you do it. But the Climate Commission, I think, that we'll set up between the government and the opposition, that'll be the place where you'll actually have experts sort out the sort of questions you've got. And by the way, when they do that, if they're really top experts, it'll be really hard for me, or Jacinda Ardern for that matter, to argue with.
Right on. Now, the last thing I want to ask you about is, what do you do when you quote facts and figures, and then as in the case of the review about jails and reoffending rates, as you did recently, and turns out that the facts and figures you've quoted, the stats that you pulled out, weren't backed up and weren't peer reviewed and it was an unpublished study that had not been peer reviewed. And is that your fault, or is that a researcher's fault?
Far be it for me to ever be critical of journalists, because I love them, or you all, and David Fisher.
Far be it from us to be critical of politicians as well.
Exactly. But David Fisher is a good at a level, albeit in a professional way, mate of mine. But that story was...
Oh, he's a cop, but he's a good journalist.
That story was always going to be that story, right? And we weren't going to buy into it too majorly, because actually I'm not here as an academic or a reviewer of the literature.
But if you're quoting stats and figures and from to make the argument, it needs to be more solid than that, doesn't it?
I do disagree with the column, and I tell you what, actually, if you look at the basis, you know, without getting too pointy-heady on this, if you look at the basis of sentencing in New Zealand and sending people to jail, it is all based on deterrence, right?
That but you must have peer-reviewed published reports that you could use instead of the opposite.
Yeah, that's
you know?
True, but I wasn't for poor old David going to spend sort of 48 hours going to the parliamentary library and doing that, you know.
Believe yeah, but it's not for David. It's for New Zealanders. You know, it's for the voters. It's for the public of the citizens of New Zealand. You know,
but I did know what David was going to write, and I turned out to be correct in that. So that's sort of that. But you know, look, I come back to it. Deterrence is important. There is a lot of evidence on that. I tell you what, though, Mikey, actually. On the evidence about whether deterrence works for the individual who's sent to jail, actually, and also for wider society, says, oh no, we might get 10 years in jail if we do that crime. People will often, whether it's literature reviews or not, they'll sort of see what they want to see. And actually, you could point to 1,000 studies that said deterrent works, and you could point to another 1,000 that said it's a load of bunkum. Now, I happen to take a maybe old-fashioned view, but actually, you know, more prisoners, fewer victims of crime out on the streets is more important. I appreciate this government has a different view, and David's writing a lot about that.
Simon Bridges, thank you very much.
Good to talk to you.
Speak to you again soon.
That was What's Up with Opposition Leader Simon Bridges.